So in 2009, I was on my first submarine, and we were about to go out to sea for a few months. And so I packed my bags, say goodbye to my wife, go to the ship. And we start up the reactor, which is typically boring, unless something breaks. This day, something broke. And usually when something breaks, they keep you on board until you fix it, because if you let sailors have extra time, they'll get drunk, they'll give away national secrets in a gaming Discord room, or get caught climbing a balcony with a sword. These are all real things I've experienced. You can't trust sailors with free time. But something broke bad enough that they let us go for a couple of days. They gave us bonus days, is what we called it. And so I grabbed a bag, left the ship, go to the car, get my phone. I'm driving home and I call my wife. Like, hey, I'm on my way home. We've got some bonus days, so I'm going to see you in a few minutes. Ooh, I'm not home. Oh, okay, where are you? I'm actually at the airport. Oh, I didn't know you were going out of town. Oh, I'm not. I'm in the arrival section. I'll see you in a bit. Click. Like, okay. So I go home, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Maybe her sister's visiting. She had just gotten out of the Navy. Maybe one of her old friends is coming. And she comes through the door, and she's with him. And I'm instantly jealous. I don't know his name, but this motherfucker looks good. Just looks good. Now, that feeling that you had, I want you to hold on to it for a second. See, first of all, I didn't know his name because he didn't have one yet. And he looked good because he was a black and white party poodle, a toy poodle that was the size of an RC Cola can. Now, we had talked about getting a dog, but I'm evasive. I ducked it, dodged it. There was always a reason not to get one. And so she made the executive decision to get a dog while I was going to be away for a while so that they could bond, and it would be impossible for me to say, oh, no, we can't have him. And I had upset her plan by having a nuclear reactor break unexpectedly. And so I'm also wrestling with the fact that this is a beautiful, beautiful dog, and I don't want to admit it. So I sit there and I look angry, and I'm like, all right, fine, you got a dog, but I get to name him. She's like, okay, his name's Dan. She's like, all right. I'm like, Dan Schultz. She's like, okay, that's very specific. Like, Daniel Montag Schultz. She's like, is that a person? I'm like, no, that's a Dan right there. And so she's like, okay, it's fair, but we'll call him Dan Schultz. I'm like, all right, good to go. So for the next few days, I'm hanging out with Dan. This dude is awesome. Like, he's just got so much energy, likes to play. He's still figuring out the world, but there's just something about him that just makes you happy, right? And so I'm living my dream. And then my bonus days run up, and I got to go back to the boat. And so I go to the boat. Reactor works this time, so we get underway, we get to see, submerge. Everyone's telling the story of their bonus day. And they get around to me and they're like, hey, sir, what did you do on your bonus day? And I tell them that story the same way I just told it to you. And we get to the point where this Dan Schultz comes in and they're like, she picked up some dude named Dan Schultz from the airport? Now, a reasonable person would say, no, it was a dog. Instead, what I said was yes. And so they start asking questions. They're like, well, what's he like? I'm like, he's fine. He's a good guy. It's her friend. And he's a nice guy. I don't ask a lot of questions. I don't really want to talk about it. And so we let that go. And we're out for a couple of months. She starts sending emails, updates. And it's like any movie you saw about the Vietnam War or World War II, where guys are reading their letters in a foxhole. So we would read our emails to each other. And it's like, oh, Dan, he's a bit of a picky eater. So I spent some time finding something he would like to eat. But I think he's really happy. And the guys are like, wow, sir, that's messed up. And then she sent another one. It says, oh, me and Dan went on a really long walk yesterday. I love hanging out with him. He makes me happy. sir, is everything okay? Now, happening at the same time, a fun fact about a submarine is there are people on board whose job it is to read emails when they come on board before you get them to make sure that you don't get any bad news that you're not prepared for. So on the other side of the ship, without context, not like I'm providing much, but no context whatsoever, there are people reading emails that say, last night Dan couldn't sleep, and so he jumped in the bed and slept at my foot. We both slept like rocks. And so I go in the forward end of the ship, and the senior officers are like, hey, Thomas, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. Is everything okay at home? Yeah. And when I realized what they were asking, what a reasonable person would say is, oh, it's just a dog. But first of all, I lived on a submarine. There's no way I could be reasonable, right? I was on a ship that was designed to submerge on purpose. Secondly, we were in international waters. The rules are just different out there. And lastly, in retrospect, I think there was something about admitting that I loved this little guy where I was like, I'd rather not have them tease me about that, so I'm just going to let them think whatever they want to think. And so I did not clear it up. We go back home. I get to spend some time with Dan, and man, this dude is still awesome. He's not much bigger. I think at his fighting weight, he was maybe 9 pounds. And even more energy. He was a picky eater, but when you found something that he liked, you say, hey, Dan, you want this? And he would do this little twirl to say yes. And he'd be like, and he'd just like keep doing it until you gave it to him. And then he'd dance around on his hind legs. He was great to go on walks with. He'd go on long walks. It would just fill your heart with joy. And sometimes when he couldn't sleep, he'd climb up into the bed with you, sleep at your foot, and it just made you sleep like a rock. And so I was carrying my own secret affair with Dan, right? And so I fast forward a little bit, and I'm walking down the pier one day, and there's a guy who works with slash for me. His name's Frank. Way too big on a submarine to be on a submarine. This guy's 6'9", 6'10". He's a giant. And he comes up to me and he confronts me lovingly. And he says, sir, he's looking straight down at me. He's like, sir, I figured out who Dan Schultz is. And I'm like, really? Okay, well, tell me more. And he pulls out this magazine. It's a Navy magazine. And it has a picture of a guy named Lieutenant Commander Dan Schultz. Explosive Ordnance Disposal Unit. And he says, if this is Dan Schultz, just say it, and we'll take care of it. And I'm like, what the fuck does take care of it mean? Are you wearing a wire? And he's like, no, I don't mean anything illegal. It's just we'll send him a message. And I'm like, Frank, that is not Dan Schultz. And he's like, you wouldn't lie to me, would you? I'm like, not about that. That is not Dan Schultz. And so he stares into my eyes and walks away. And my cover is almost blown. And a reasonable person would have just said, it's a dog. I don't even have the international waters excuse anymore. I just wanted to hold on to my secret because I really love this dog. And so a couple months pass by. We're at the ship's Christmas party. And we're all sitting around a table. It's me and my wife and a few guys from the ship and their spouses. And no one's talking. All the guys are giving my wife Malocchio, the bad eye. They're just sitting there looking at her, looking at each other, looking at me, giving her the eye. And she's actually a reasonable human being and a lovely human being. And so she's like, hey, would you guys like to see pictures of Dan Schultz? And a guy leans across the table and he's like, we'd love to see pictures of Dan Schultz. And so they get up and they walk around, and she pulls it up on her phone, and as she's doing this, they're looking at her and they're looking at me like, yeah, we got you, sir. And then when the picture finally comes up, they look at the picture, they look at me, they look at the picture, they look at her, they look at me, the picture, the me, picture, and they just split up. And they start going table to table whispering to people. And then all of a sudden, the entire crew of a fast attack submarine is crowded around my wife to see pictures of the Dan Schultz. And Frank comes and stands over me, and he says, "How could you keep this from us, sir?" I was like, "Keep what from you?" He's like, "That is a cute fucking dog." And I was like, "Well, you know, sometimes you got to keep a secret, man." But everybody forgave me somehow, because I'm the bad guy in this story. I acknowledge that. But looking back on it, it's, you know, we lost Dan a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's the first time I had ever really gotten close to an animal. I didn't fully appreciate that until we were in the process of losing him. And so, you know, thinking back to that point in my life, it was in a, you know, a submarine's a world full of secrets, right? We're out doing stuff that you can't tell anyone, you can't tell your family. And it was nice to have this secret that was my own, that was this little pocket of joy that I could tap into when I needed happiness. And even if the crew didn't fully understand how much I loved that guy, Dan Schultz knew. And that's really all that matters. Thank you.